united in mission. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. These are the words of Jesus Christ. Jesus had been out in the desert at the beginning of his ministry. Recall that after he was baptized, he was sent out to the desert, and we'll talk more about that in a couple of weeks when Lent begins. We start Lent out thinking about that. But so now we're going kind of fast forward, though, to when he came back from the desert. And he came back in the power of the Spirit, under the anointing that he had received in this experience in the desert. And he started going around to all the villages around Galilee, preaching the gospel and visiting in the synagogues and teaching and healing people and ministering in the ways that he's famous for. And then he made his circle back home to Nazareth and went to his home church there at Nazareth and went in and it was time for the scripture reading, and as Kelly stood and read the scriptures to us this morning, so Jesus stood and opened the scriptures to the book of Isaiah and read these words. In the reading of itself, people heard his own voice. It was the messianic prophecy, part of the declaration of the mission of the Messiah. And as he read the passage, his own voice claimed it for himself. And there was no misunderstanding amongst the people who were there. They heard it too. They understood him as he said, in this day, today, this word is being fulfilled in your hearing. They understood it as others did as he continued his ministry, as we do today, that he was taking this as his mission and his role as the Messiah and stepping up. They weren't too happy about it. Next week's lectionary continues to tell how unhappy they were as they dragged him out of the church and over to the cliff, and they were going to throw him off the cliff, but then he turned and walked back through them all and went his way and continued his mission. We can hear in this verse, in the verse 18 and 19 where he is reading, the sixfold mission of Jesus is to preach the gospel to the poor, number one. Number two, to heal the brokenhearted. Number three, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Number four, to proclaim the receiving of sight to the blind. Number five, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. And number six, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That's the mission that Jesus claimed for himself. And in claiming it for himself, then it became the mission of any who would follow him. So no matter how we might frame our mission, how we might look at the programs that we have to fulfill our mission, that's our mission. Our district superintendent, Sky McCracken, is often has a saying, there is nothing sacred but the mission. And what he encourages us to do in this is to weigh everything that we do, especially as a congregation, and let it rise or fall according to the mission. What is our mission? This is our mission. Our mission is the mission of Jesus Christ. And we might you know, move that around and emphasize different parts of it at different times. We might rephrase it or focus in on different parts of it, but everything we do needs to fit into what Christ has established his church to do in the first place. Amen? Otherwise, we're somebody else's church. We're somebody else's mission, and we're doing some other's program that has nothing to do with what Christ is trying to accomplish in the world and in the people. And so this is his mission, and he calls us and invites us to it. One time while John was cast in the prison, and before he was executed, he was kind of starting to wonder and just wanted to make sure that he was giving his life basically for the right thing, you know. And so he had his friends go and ask Jesus just to double check, are you really the Messiah or is it somebody else? And so they did, and the way that Jesus first answered was without a word. In Luke chapter 7, it tells how Jesus, immediately on hearing this question, started going around healing some more people and helping some people and preaching and ministering. And then after a little while, he said to those friends of John, there, you see what I'm doing? Go back and tell John what I'm doing. And he almost... Well, he basically paraphrased the things that we just said right here in this, that he said, I'm preaching the gospel to the poor, the healing, the brokenhearted, proclaiming the liberty to the captives, proclaiming receiving of sight to the blind. I'm setting at liberty those that are oppressed and proclaiming the acceptable year of the Lord. Go tell John that you saw me doing that. And he'll know. You know, when Jesus was getting ready to give up his life for us, he said something like that too, to his disciples. This is my commandment, that you love one another. If the people see you loving one another, then they'll know. If they don't see you loving one another, then they'll know that you're not. And that's kind of like what he was telling John. So it can be framed lots of different ways. Just before Jesus ascended into heaven, he gave the great commission. Go ye therefore. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have taught you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And as he ascended in the book of Acts, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And then on the day of Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the whole rest of the book of Acts is about this mission of God being fulfilled in the people of the church as the church is established and built, and those who believed in Jesus continued this sixfold mission of Jesus spreading the gospel throughout the world. The mission is to preach. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. And so Jesus and his apostles then preached the gospel to the poor. They preached liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind and the acceptable year of the Lord. And then a part of that mission is to heal the brokenhearted. And we see Jesus and his apostles healing those who were sick from all kinds of oppression, vexed, possessed with demons, physical illnesses, people who were discouraged, mourning, grieving, those who were impoverished, both materially and spiritually, those who were disenfranchised economically and political, those that were captured by superstition and fear, those that were lonely and disappointed. He heals us. Amen. He continues to heal us. And we continue the healing ministry as we touch one another with his love. To all of these, that is to all of us, the brokenhearted, comes the timeless great invitation of Jesus. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And another little grouping of the things that Jesus is doing in this passage and claiming it, his mission is to liberate the oppressed. We see that in the book of Exodus, the most famous liberation moment in history, right? When Moses went and said to Pharaoh, "Let my people go," and after the plagues that he finally did, and then the big story of the as they traveled through and all kinds of experiences in the desert, starting with going through the Red Sea as on dry land, following the pillar of cloud and fire, and having their food provided for them every day for 40 years in the wilderness. And that's the story of liberation. Those that were in bondage who are being set free by the mighty arm of God. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." The Bible invites us to avoid having our ears tickled, as Paul put it. Truth is an invitation, not a command. So we have to dig it and study it for ourselves. We're not supposed to be a slave to somebody else's truth and just take whatever somebody else says without looking into it ourselves, or to just parrot someone else's beliefs, but turn to him who said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." Pilate asked Jesus, "What is truth?" Truth is a reality that is to be discovered by each of us. Jesus is a truth in relationship to be explored. We encourage and strengthen each other in that and invite each other to the truth, and we share our understandings with one another. And so today is Ecumenical Sunday, and this is a week of prayer for Christian unity. And so it's a good time for us to think about the truth in those terms. Because, you know, we have all these different people in all different kinds of groups of people with various teachings and slants and views on things. And oftentimes that has been an excuse for working against each other and separating against each other. And what we're called to is to seek out those truths, and we may have these different understandings, but to celebrate those and encourage each other in those different understandings, that we might be able to actually learn from each other and grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ, and to have the same kind of a sense of vision that John Wesley had as he dealt with that same thing, was that if our heart is right with God, then all these other things will work out. And we can take each other's hand, we can cooperate and work together and work out the mission of Christ and participate in that and find our place in that, even if we have all kinds of different ideas. Because if our heart is right with God, then the rest will come together. We will learn from each other. We will strengthen each other. And we will, we'll change our views on points that we need to change as we identify those, and others will do the same, and we'll be one, united in the Spirit of the Lord that is upon us through Christ. That's why Paul could say, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." So we are invited today into the mission of the body of Christ, the mind of Christ, the church. We frame that mission in a lot of different ways. Each church kind of frames it a little bit differently. We sort of have that Great Commission that I quoted a while ago as a common phrasing, don't we, amongst all different denominations. And then in our United Methodist Church, we phrase the mission of the United Methodist Church as to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. And in our Memphis Conference, the mission of the Memphis Conference of the United Methodist Church is to discover, equip, connect, and send lay and clergy leaders who shape congregations that offer Jesus Christ to a hurting world, one neighborhood at a time. And our mission statement here at Bryansburg is to help each other serve to our full potential. However we might phrase or frame or focus in on different parts of the mission of Christ, we're each and every one of us invited as individuals and families, as church and community, to join Jesus in his mission, to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, proclaim recovering of sight to the blind, set at liberty them that are oppressed, proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. How will you find your place in that mission? I'd like to close with this hymn that we have in our hymnal by Leon Adkins and Henry Smart. Excuse me. Go, make of all disciples, we hear the call, O Lord, that comes from Thee, our Father, in Thy eternal word. Inspire our ways of learning through earnest, fervent prayer, and let our daily living reveal Thee everywhere. Go, make of all disciples, baptizing in the name of Father, Son, and Spirit, from age to age the same. We call each new disciple to follow Thee, O Lord, redeeming soul and body by water and the Word. Go, make of all disciples, we at Thy feet would stay until each life's vocation accents Thy holy way. We cultivate the nature God plants in every heart, revealing in our witness the master teacher's art. Go, make of all disciples, we welcome thy command. Lo, I am with you always, we take thy guiding hand. The task looms large before us, we follow without fear. In heaven and earth thy power shall bring God's kingdom here. In the name of Jesus, amen.